Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Are you all doing you all good? Great, great. Can I just say, I woke up at 5 this morning and I thought to myself that I oversleep because it was so bright, the sun was shining, and it felt like for the first time this year that I'm in summer again. And who enjoys summer? Any good summer people? Come on. There we go. This whole thing of like, oh, if I'm cold, I can put a jacket on and I can't do anything in the heat. That's nonsense. The heat is the best. The cold is terrible. And Jesus is good. All right. Everyone good at that? Well, welcome to church. So great to have you with us. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome, welcome. We're so excited that you've chosen this place to be on a Sunday. And dare I say, the best place to be on a Sunday. There we go. Thank you for the 5 that agree with me. The rest of you, I'll get you there by the end of today. But we are very, very excited for today. We are in for a great season at church. It is summer. It is warm. There's a World Cup chilling somewhere in the country. It's beautiful. Arsenal has lost, but it's okay. Jesus is still good. But we're in for a great season. Carols is coming up. We're excited for that. It's a great season in church. November, December is a great season in church. So I want to encourage you to stay plugged in. For the next 2 months, don't let fatigue and the busyness of work and trying to make targets keep you from all the joy, all the love, all the excitement, all the friendships that Jesus wants to build into our lives this next 2 months. Do not miss out on it. Can I say, we're in for a great season and God's going to do amazing things. And in the most cheesy Christian way that I can say it, but also in a non-most cheesy way, is that the best is yet to come. All right, 2023, I know it's been a long year, but it can still be a great year because Jesus is in it and we are with him and he's with us. Everyone good at that?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you for the 5 that agree. Once again, we'll get there by the end of the service. But we are kicking off a brand new sermon series today and a brand new season. And we call it a season of Thanksgiving. Everyone say Thanksgiving. Yes. A season where we're choosing to be grateful for everything that God is doing in our lives. And can I say, more accurately said, where we look and discover that there's many reasons to be grateful. It's not that we choose to be grateful, it's that we realize there's a lot of reasons to be grateful. And that's the season we're going in. We're very excited for it. And with that, it's my privilege to kick off the season. And with that, I just want to thank Pastor Byron and Pastor Candace for the great privilege that it is to share in God's Word today. And I do not take it lightly. And I hope you find it a great joy, and I'm finding it a great joy, that we can unpack God's Word together today as we go into the season of Thanksgiving. And speaking of Pastor Byron and Pastor Candace, right now they are in Edenvale. So if you see fire coming up over there, it's not because a substation has blown. It's just because they are preaching fire. They are kicking off the Thanksgiving Vision Offering Service there. And just pray for them as they put out to the church what God has laid on their hearts for that campus. And next week, they'll be here doing the Thanksgiving Vision Offering Service. So can I say that you don't want to miss out on that? It's going to be an amazing, amazing service. And can I say today, when you go home today, you have homework today, when you go home today and pray, hey God, what is it that you want me to give to Vision Offering this year? Go home and pray, hear from God, and then obey Jesus, right? And come prepared to give generously next week Sunday as we go into the season of Thanksgiving. Everyone good at that?
Yes.
You got your homework? You wrote it down? Everyone got at that? Okay, awesome. Can I ask you to please stand with me for a moment? And the reason why I do this before I preach every single time, because it's not my words or anybody's words that can change your lives, only the words from Jesus himself. So if you're like me and you really want to hear Jesus' words and not this Afrikaans guy who can barely say the word 3, if you don't want to hear that, but you actually want to hear Jesus speak proper English to you, God, you just close your eyes, just stretch your heart out, stretch your hands to heaven, just look up to heaven, whatever you need to do to just connect with Jesus in this moment, and I just pray right now. Father God, we thank you for this church. Thank you, God, that the local church and Thrive Church Boxburg in this scenario, God, is the hope of the world. And we thank you, Lord, Father God, that today you've brought us together, not by mistake, not by chance, not by our good idea or our good design, but by your idea and by your design and by your purpose. You brought us here today to hear this message. You've laid it on my heart, and you've brought all of us in this room together, God, so we can hear from you today. So God, we pray. Humbly, we pray. Come and speak to us with your grace, with your power. Come and speak into our hearts. Come and move in our hearts. Inspire us, Jesus. Burn our hearts on fire for you, Jesus, so that we can become people who just radiate your glory, radiate your goodness. That we can truly become people who live with an aura and with a thought and with a mindset and with a posture of thanksgiving. God, we pray right now, open up our hearts, open up our eyes, open up our ears, open up all our senses, God, so we can experience the full life that you've promised for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, you can turn to someone quickly as you take your seat and tell them your socks look great. And if you don't have socks, your toes look great. I just thought, awesome stuff. Well, we're kicking off a season of Thanksgiving, and we are so excited for it, and I'm so excited for it, and I really believe that God has laid something on my heart today for us to just to think and to live with a posture of Thanksgiving. And I thought that the best way to describe the power of Thanksgiving, the best way to understand what Thanksgiving can do for our lives, or how much poorer our lives are if we don't live with a posture of Thanksgiving, I came across a story, and I want to share it with you. The story goes of a great garden, an amazing, beautiful garden, kept by the most amazing groundsman in the world. Think of the best person who has the best garden in your life. Think about that person, you got them. You know, that person, they're always cutting leaves and stuff, and they always look like they're destroying the garden, and then a month later, the garden is like, you know, blooming again. Think about that person, but think about 100 of them maintaining the same garden. Everyone got that, all right? The trees were saturated in green. They were as tall as buildings, and flowers of every color in existence, all over the garden, all over the floor, fully, fully saturated in color. Beautiful garden, the perfect ecosystem where the trees would protect the flowers from drowning when the rain came down, but also the flowers would attract the bees, and the bees would pollinate the whole garden, and so the garden just kept blooming, full of life, all year in, all season in, blooming full of color every single time. So the groundsman decided they're going to expand the garden a little bit. They're going to make the garden a little bit bigger, because why not? It's a beautiful garden. So they decided they're going to plant more flowers and more trees in a new section. But a particular flower was planted, a very clever flower, they say, was planted in the garden. And this flower was full of expectation and hope that it would grow as tall as its neighbors. And why would it not? Because the first few weeks, the flower grew tall, full of color, full of life, even taller than some of the trees around it. But eventually, the flowers stopped growing as quickly as the trees, and before he knew it, the trees shot beyond its reach, the trees standing tall, and the flowers started to get a little bit jealous, a little bit despondent, a little bit disappointed. Man, I had all these hopes, all these dreams, why am I not growing as much as the trees? And the flower, being very clever, started to realize that the trees are taller, therefore they get more rain when it rains. The trees are taller, therefore they get more sun when the sun shines, and as a result, the trees are growing, and the flower is not growing as much as it wants to. And the flower started to think, if only I can get as much sunlight as the trees. If only I can get as much water as the trees, then surely I would be as tall as them. And the flower just started to realize more and more, day in, day out, year in, year out, that it will never become like the trees, because the trees take all the sunlight and all the rain. And it started to get despondent. It started to get more and more upset. It started to lose its joy for life. When a little bit of rain that it did get came down on it, it started to not even feel the droplets anymore. When the sun would shine, it stopped feeling the warmth of the sun. It stopped getting excited when the sun would shine. And all of a sudden, the flower just lived a despondent, depressing life for the rest of its life. Never trying to grow, never trying to see the good in what's around it. The trees looking down on the flower, however, just thought to itself, if only we can communicate to the flower somehow, that if we don't stop all the rain that you're getting, that you would drown in all the rain. If only you could see that if we let you get all the sun that we're getting, you would die because the sun would scorch you to death. But the flower just kept thinking, if only I could get as much sun and get as much rain as the trees. Maybe you can relate to the story a little bit. Maybe you and I are maybe not so different from this flower. Maybe you've ever thought, oh, if only I can have that, then I'll be happy. If only I can have a little bit more of that, then I'll be successful. If only I can have a little bit more money, I'll be grateful. If only I can have a better marriage or a better this, then I would be happy. Maybe you can relate to that. And when I look at this story, I realize that living a life with a posture of thanksgiving is more about perspective than it is about having my desires met. Right? Living a life with a posture of thanksgiving is more about perspective than having my desires met. If this flower could just realize that meeting your desire of more water, more rain, and more sunlight isn't necessarily the thing that's going to make you thankful, if it just realized that it's all about perspective, if a flower could just see what the trees would see, then we'd surely live a different life of thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving is about having a new perspective on our current circumstances. Thanksgiving is about about seeing our world in a new way. Thanksgiving is not about our desires being met. Yes, that would be great, and that makes us grateful. But can I say that the true heart of a heart of thanksgiving, the true posture of thanksgiving, is never locked behind circumstances changing. It's locked behind how we see and look at our world. When you live a life of thankfulness, we start to see our world in a whole new way. Thanksgiving unlocks a new world for us, church. Thanksgiving unlocks a whole new world for us. I'm not talking about a physical world, but I'm talking about the way we see our world, the way we look at the world, the way we experience our world, the way we feel our world in such a different way that it will feel like a whole new world, you know? It will feel like a different world. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. It's when we see our world in such a new way, such a life-giving, such an inspiring way that we all of a sudden look at our circumstances a little bit differently. Today, I want to unpack together for us the key of thanksgiving, because thanksgiving is the key to unlock this new world for us. Today, I want to unpack for us how thanksgiving is a key that can change the way we view our circumstances. And can I suggest that our circumstances does not need to change for us to grab all of this key that is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving can be a thing that changes right now in spite of our circumstances. And I'm not dismissing pain. I'm not dismissing lack. I'm not dismissing things that aren't great in our lives. I'm not saying that those things don't matter. I'm not saying we should ignore them. But what I am saying is, in fact, we do acknowledge them, but we acknowledge them with a different perspective. We acknowledge them with a bit of a hope, with a bit of a faith. And we realize that there's a different perspective to look at my circumstances, a perspective that is maybe not so glim and maybe not so doom. A different perspective of looking at our circumstances. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. And I can confidently say that there's a different perspective in our circumstances. I can confidently say for you and for me, irrespective of what you're going through, that we can have a heart of thanksgiving in every situation. And the reason why I can confidently say that, because Paul wrote about it. Paul wrote about it in Scripture, and we're going to read it together today. And I want to encourage you in this moment, like the Scripture that you maybe heard a bit, or maybe you've looked at a lot. You maybe seen it on a bumper sticker millions of times. Can I say right now, can you read it together with fresh eyes, with a way of seeing that this is a key, a secret to unlock a whole new world for us. Are you with me?
Yes.
Everyone good with me?
Yes.
How about Left Bank? Are you with me? Thank you. Cool. Philippians 4, verse 4 to 13. Paul writes that you can be grateful in every circumstance. He says, rejoice. Everyone say rejoice.
Rejoice.
In the Lord always. I will say it again.
Rejoice.
Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord at last. You renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever. Everyone say content, whatever.
Content, whatever.
The circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret. Everyone say the secret. Of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Paul is saying, there's a new way to live. There's a way you can look at your life and your circumstances. You can be well-fed, you can be hungry, you can have a lot, you can have nothing, but I have learned the secret to be content in every circumstance. There's a new way to live, he's saying. There's a new way to look at things, there's a new way to see things, and your circumstances does not matter. And we love this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? We like to use it as a power verse. I can lift a mountain because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not saying it doesn't mean that, but what I am saying is that Paul wrote this verse with the context of thanksgiving. He was saying that I can be thankful in every situation, not because of my situation, but because of Jesus who gives me strength, because of Jesus who empowers me so I can be grateful in every situation. Church, can I say today that the circumstances doesn't matter. The state of a country doesn't matter. We can have a heart and a posture of thanksgiving because of Jesus who gives me strength. And the good news is Jesus is not Eskom. He doesn't do load shedding on His power. He gives it to you all the time and always. There's not a space and time. Whenever you go, Jesus, I need you, He will give you strength to be content in every circumstance. It's almost like living a life of thanksgiving is living in a whole new world, but living a life of ungratefulness, living in a life of thinking that I need more, I want more, is almost like putting yourself in a transparent box. It's not very transparent right now because this person is very ungrateful, lives behind here. It's like living over here, and the more you think, oh no, if only I had more money, then you start putting yourself in this box. If only I could get a better car, then you start putting yourself in this box. If only I can get more of that, or if only I can get engaged, oh Jesus, that'd be so amazing, that'd be so great, and then you put yourself in this box. Ask Kristen, she prayed to get engaged all the time. When she got engaged, she realized it's not as fun as she thought it was gonna be. I'm joking. All right. Just messing around. But if she was in here, she would say, amen. Okay, cool. Anyway, so you're putting yourself in this box. And at first, it's a transparent box. It looks clear. It looks like you're in the same world as everyone else. But the more you get ungrateful, the more you get into the cycle, the more wrinkly it gets. The more your view of the world gets blurred and destroyed. You think, oh, your neighbor just got a new Ferrari. You're thinking, oh, why am I driving this GTI? But then a neighbor's kid kicks the ball and you hear glass break. So you go, can I be grateful in this moment? Then you realize that the neighbor's child kicked the ball through your car's window in your office. If only I can get that job that my neighbor got, if only I got that promotion that my coworker got, I would be so grateful. And before you know it, you're shut off from the world around you. It looks like you're in the same space, but can I say the world's very different for you right now? If someone had to put a nice plate of babuerti in front of me right now, I'd be able to see it, but I wouldn't be able to smell it as well as you would, right? If someone had to blow a wind through here right now, if the aircon would just cool me down, you would feel it, but I wouldn't feel it. I would see the wind move, but I wouldn't feel it. I'll be shut off from the world around me. And before you know it, this box gets smaller and smaller and more wrinkled and more wrinkled. And before you know it, you're trapped in a world that looks the same as everyone else's world, but it's not. Like the flower, you become cold. Like the flower, you don't get grateful for the things that you do have. And the things you do have start to look wrinkled and old. And nothing's changed. What's changed is our heart. What's changed is our mindset. But Paul is saying, no, there's a new way to live. There's a new way to live. There's a different way to live. There's a heart of thanksgiving. And if you just slowly but surely start breaking out and start thinking that what you have is good enough, if you start thinking that what you have is more than enough, when you start thinking that there's a new way to live, there's a key that is called thanksgiving and you can break out of it. And Paul is saying, no, break out of this box. There's a new world waiting for you, a world full of life, a world full of joy, a world full of passion, a full life that Jesus promised. If only you can break out of the box, not put yourself into it. See, Jesus says, I came to give you life and life to the full, right? A full life is, this is not a full life. I don't want to just see things, I want to experience things. I don't know about you, but watching a 4D movie is amazing. Much better than watching a 2D movie, right? You want to experience things. You want to see things differently. And the only way to get out of this box is to realize that you can be grateful in every circumstance, in every situation. Not because you're great or because you can force it, but because Jesus gives you strength. Because of Jesus gives you strength. Paul is saying there's a new world. Thanksgiving unlocks a new world for us. And that world is to step out of this space of ungratefulness and to see, okay, there's a whole new world. I don't have to look through this blurry, wrinkled vision. I can look through at the world in a whole new way with my own eyes. I can experience the wind. I can experience the rain. I can experience the sunshine. I can experience the joy and I can experience the low, but I can experience it all with thanksgiving. That's a full life of Jesus' promise. That's what Scripture says. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, right? Proverbs 11:24. It says that the world of the generous gets larger and larger and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. See, the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller because when I'm stingy, I realize I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I can't give. I need more. And what you do is you put yourself in a smaller world, right? But when you're generous, generous people are grateful people. Generous people realize that everything is a gift. So they're not going to hold on to a gift. I'm going to give the gift that I've gotten, right? So generous people know I must give. Why? Because they want. Gets larger and larger. The life gets fuller and fuller. That is what Jesus meant by that. That's what Proverbs means by that. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. Why? Because the people who are generous are people who are grateful. People who are grateful. There's a new way to experience this world, church. There's a new way to look at things. There's a key called thanksgiving. And if we step into it, if we take a hold of it, we can see our world in a whole new way. And can I say the good news for us today is that this key of thanksgiving, it is accessible to all of us. It's not something that is out of reach. It's not something that we can hope for one day. It is accessible to all of us right here, right now, in this moment. And it is not accessible by getting more. It's not accessible by having more. Charles Spurgeon says, you say, if I had a little more, I should be very satisfied. You make a mistake. If you're not content with what you have, you'll not be satisfied if it were doubled. The good news today, church, is there's more. There's more for us. There's a new world for us, and we can grab a hold of it right here today. The key of thanksgiving is accessible to all of us. There's a new world waiting for us, and our circumstances does not need to change. So you're probably wondering, cool, okay, it's accessible, so then how do I access this key of thanksgiving? How do I live a life of thanksgiving? And if it's so accessible, then how do I do it? Well, today I have four things for you that I humbly want to suggest to you, things that helped me that I pray and hope will help you today. I pray and hope that they are helpful to you as they were helpful to me. Four things that we can do to access this key of thanksgiving. And they all start with G. All right? Why? Because G's, they're very helpful, okay? I'm just joking. But like G as in like because they're easier to remember, all right? Because they're all sort of G. So are you ready for them? Are you ready for four things that we can do to help grab a hold of this key of thanksgiving? Four things that we can do to help us look at our world in a whole new different way. Are you ready for them? Would you like to hear them? All right, the first one is, it is a grace from Jesus. The key of thanksgiving, the way to access thanksgiving, it's a grace from Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 13, Paul says, I do all things through Him who gives me strength. It is a grace from Jesus. It's not something you can force. You can't be like Dragon Ball Z and go, Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving. Don't do that, okay? That's what it's about. It is about asking Jesus, please give me strength that I can be grateful in all circumstances. Maybe a great prayer that you can pray. Once again, just a prayer I want to suggest to you humbly that you can pray every single day. Dear Jesus, please give me strength today so that I can be grateful in every situation I find myself. Every morning, dear Jesus, please give me strength today so I can be grateful in every situation. Maybe you know you're going into a tough meeting at work. Jesus, please give me strength today so I can be grateful in every situation. Maybe you know you're going to have a tough talk with your child or with your coworker or with your brother-in-law or whatever, with your mother-in-law. Maybe just say, Jesus, please give me strength that I can be grateful in every circumstance. What a prayer to pray. How amazing, how different will our lives be if we pray this every single morning. Just, Jesus, please give me strength that I can be grateful in every circumstance. See, because when we're grateful, when you live a life of thanksgiving, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, we get to experience a full life that Jesus has for us. Because I don't let my circumstances rule me anymore. I don't let my lack rule me anymore. I let the life that Jesus has for me rule me. I let the heart and the love that Jesus has for me be the Lord of my life and not my circumstances. That is what thanksgiving is all about. It's putting Jesus in its rightful place because He wants the best for you and taking away the things that don't want the best for you and taking them off the throne of your life. Can I say that doesn't matter what state or country is in, you can be grateful because of Jesus who gives you strength. J.R. Tolkien, the writer of Lord of the Rings, he says this, the chief purpose of life for any of us is to increase according to our capacity the knowledge of God by all means we have and to be moved by praise and thanks. What he's saying here is that every time we come to Jesus, dear Jesus, please give me strength. Dear Jesus, please help me. Every time we come to Jesus and we worship, every time we come to Jesus and we read His word, we start to increase our knowledge of Him, right? And as our knowledge of Him increases, we start to get moved towards praise and thanksgiving. Can I suggest right now that if you're lacking the heart and the posture of thanksgiving in your life, can I say right now, the way to get there is through the presence of Jesus and Jesus alone. You can't force it, you can't make it. It's through Jesus who gives me strength. That is why we're so serious about getting to church on time, right? Getting to the first song. The first song is not a stage warmer. The first song is not a crowd opener. That little thing that we do in a countdown when the music plays is not there so that we can just jam music for you. No, it's to set the presence of God in this place. To say, God, please settle on this moment so that all the people who come into this place on time and early can experience your presence. Because if we're late, we're like, we're coming to worship like a little bit rushed. And we're like, okay, cool. Okay, let's just worship quickly and do it as a task. No. So when we step into worship, we start to acknowledge Jesus. We start to experience Jesus. We start to get to know Jesus. And that's I get to know Jesus more, as my knowledge of Him increases, I am moved to praise and thanks. It is a grace from Jesus. Ask Jesus every day, give me the strength to be grateful in every circumstance. Secondly, we gratefully ask. We gratefully ask. Paul says in Philippians 4 verse 6, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Everyone say, with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. What does it mean? Is that before I ask for anything, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. And we present our request to God with thanksgiving. Why is that important? Why, when you ask with a grateful heart, you ask with more faith. When you ask with a grateful heart, you ask for different things. When you ask with a grateful heart, you ask with more confidence. People who are grateful are more confident because they know Jesus provides, right? I remember when I was younger, my parents worked very hard, but we didn't have much. And so a bit of a poverty mindset started to settle in my mind. And when I moved here to Joburg to study, I needed help quite a bit from people. And that's just the truth. I just needed help from people to get onto my feet and to get around and all sorts of things. And I remember every time I'd ask people, I'd go to people and be like, can you please help me? I'm so sorry. You know, just, you know, almost degrading myself as I'm asking, putting myself in a space of like a beggar, putting myself in a space where I'm not good enough because I need help. And the reason why I asked like that is because I was ungrateful. I was ungrateful for what I had. I was so upset that I had to ask. How dare I, must I ask now for things because I don't have enough? And I started to ask degrading myself. And as a result, I would ask unconfidently, number one, but I wouldn't ask for everything that I need. I'd be like, oh, can I just, instead of needing 100 rand, I'll be like, can I just get 20 rand maybe, please, you know, like just to help. And all of a sudden, I realized that this way of asking is detrimenting myself. It's pushing myself down, and it's not actually helping me. Until someone pulled me inside and said, hey, Hein, we want to help you. Ask. Like, we want to help you. God has asked us to bless you, so just ask. Ask with confidence. And I started to realize, hey, wait a second. Jesus wants to bless me. Hey, wait a second. Jesus wants to help me. How grateful am I? And I started to think, no, man, let me ask for what I need. Let me ask confidently. Let me ask with a heart of thanksgiving because God wants to bless me. What an amazing thing. Paul is saying, hey, church, listen. Hey, everyone, church in Philippi, hey, Thrive Church Boxburg, 2,000 years later, there's a way you can ask, but ask with thanksgiving because when you ask with thanksgiving, your faith is stirred. When you ask with thanksgiving, you think differently. You think confidently and you ask God with a big faith. And you don't ask small, you ask big. That's why you ask with thanksgiving. Can I suggest something to you that maybe will help you, that helps me a lot, is just before you spend time with Jesus, before you start asking him for what you need, just write down all the things you're grateful for. In your journal, just write down, hey, Jesus, I'm grateful for this. Before I ask you for anything, I'm grateful for that. And some days you're going to be able to write a book of everything you're grateful for. And some days you won't even be able to get one sentence out. But that's okay. Write down one thing. Because a heart that asks with thanksgiving, a heart that asks gratefully, is a heart that is full of faith. Because when you start to realize everything you're grateful for, it stirs your faith a little bit, right? And you start to realize who you're talking to. You're talking to the Jesus, to the God who's provided everything that you have right now. So we gratefully ask. Warren Wiersbe says, a Christian who walks with the Lord and keeps constant communion with him will see many reasons for rejoicing and thanksgiving all day long. So keep asking God, please stick close to Jesus. Stay in communion with him. And as you do, you will all the more, day in, day out, start being moved towards rejoicing and thanksgiving. You'll start stepping out of this box and into a life with Jesus. We gratefully ask. It's a grace from Jesus, and we gratefully ask. And thirdly, we give thanks on a deeper level. Thanks on a deeper level. Paul says in Philippians 4 verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. He didn't say I rejoiced. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. So he rejoiced on a deeper level. What does it mean? What I mean by that is this is that when you give thanks to God, you give thanks on a deeper level. So instead of just saying, Jesus, thank you for my food. You go, Jesus, thank you for my food. It tastes so amazing. Thank you for the spice taste that it had over there. Thank you that even the sour milk tastes great, Jesus. Thank you, God, I didn't have to throw it out in Jesus' name. Or you go, Jesus, thank you for my car. Instead of just one level deeper, you go, Jesus, thank you for my car. Thank you there's a radio in it. Thank you there's an aircon in it to make my journey a bit more pleasant. Or you can even go, Jesus, thank you for Justin Bieber's music. One level deeper, you can say, thank you, I'm on Spotify and I can block any and all recommendations from him so I don't have to listen to his music. Thank you for Spotify, Jesus. You give thanks on a deeper level. Don't just give thanks, you give thanks on a deeper level because when you do that, you start to really appreciate what you have. How about thanking God for your kids in a deeper level? Hey? How about thanking God for your church in a deeper level? How about thanking God for the fact that you can breathe and you have your health on a deeper level? Things you take for granted, eh? I know people my age who are struggling with their health. And here I am just expecting to be healthy. Give thanks on a deeper level. It gives us a heart of gratitude. We give thanks on a deeper level. And fourthly, we grow in this lifestyle. We grow in this lifestyle. Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Always. It is a lifestyle. It's not just something that we do once off, that we apply for the month of November. No, it's a lifestyle. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Why? Because when you make it a lifestyle, it is a way that we start to live and we start to step out in this whole new world in a whole new way, day in and day out. It is a way to experience Jesus in a whole new way. It's a way to get life and life to the full. We rejoice always. We grow in his lifestyle. So whatever you got to do to make it a lifestyle, do it. Just do it. Maybe you need to set an alarm every 2 hours to just give thanks to Jesus for something, then do it. Maybe you need to pray on a whole deeper level. Maybe you need to give thanks on a deeper level, then do that. But do not just do it once off. Do it all the time, because stepping out of this box for some of us, it is going to be a tough journey. Because we've lived a life, we've been pushed into a space where we learn to not be grateful for what we have. We step out into the world as a lifestyle to thank Jesus gratefully, day in and day out. Paul is saying there's a new way to live. There's a new way to live. There's a whole new world accessible to you, and it's accessible through the key of thanksgiving. Nothing has to change. Nothing has to get better. You can have that heart and that posture right now in this moment. I know things are tough, Paul is saying, but you can rejoice always. I know that there's a lot of situations, a lot of circumstances around you, but you can give thanks to God always. And he's not saying that you shouldn't ask Jesus for things, but he's saying ask with prayer and petition, but with thanksgiving. Have a heart of thanksgiving and ask Jesus for something, but there's a whole new world waiting for you. So as people, we can say, sorry, divorce, you will not rule my life forever. You will not have the final say in my life. Why? Because I've unlocked the key, and it's called thanksgiving, and I'll find a reason to give praise to God in the situation. You can say, lack, I'm not having enough. You will not have the final say in my life because I have Jesus, and he's given me strength to be grateful. Maybe the standard of a country and just seeing all the corruption and everything. No. Jesus, you have given me strength to be grateful in all circumstances. I will not be ruled by situations. I'll not be ruled by circumstances. I'm stepping out in faith. I'm seeing a whole new world, and I'm going to live the full life that Jesus has promised, even though my circumstances do not change. Why? Because of Jesus who gives me strength. We do not settle. We don't settle. We don't settle for anything else. Jesus says he came to give us life and life to the full, but he also said in this world, you will have trouble. So the only way to reconcile those two together is to say, thank you, Jesus, that in all circumstances, I know this is not great right now. I know the situation doesn't make sense. I don't know why I'm going through it, but I know and I have a new perspective that somehow and somewhere, I'll be able to give you thanks for this. Somehow and somewhere, I'll be able to step out in faith and be grateful that this thing happened. Or even if it doesn't get to that point, I know I can be grateful in the midst of this because you've given me so many other blessings. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. There's a whole new world waiting for us and is accessible through the key of Thanksgiving. So how do we do it? Well, we get a grace. It's a grace from Jesus. We gratefully ask. We give thanks on a deeper level, and we grow in this lifestyle. We do not settle for anything else because Jesus has promised us life to the full. And I don't know about you, but I don't live in a box and it looks like this, that my outlook on life is always blurred and always cold and always shut off from everyone around me. No. I want to step out into a life full of joy, full of life, full of faith, full of people, full of love. And the only way to do that is through thanksgiving. Through thanksgiving. So this week, can I say, as we prepare our hearts for Thanksgiving service next week, let's pray, let's hear, let's obey, and let's come prepared to give generously. Why? Because the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Let's step out in thanksgiving to Jesus. And in all situations, and everything that we have, maybe today you need to go home and just take a roll call of everything that you have and start listening at it. Hey, God, thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for my gets that I've been driving for the last 12 years. It breaks down a lot. But thank you, Jesus, that when it works well and it works fast. And I get lots of fines because it's too fast for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, you provide funds for the fines in Jesus' name. But give thanks to Jesus, because that is the way to access the full life that he has for us. Circumstances will come and they will go. But what can remain is a posture and a heart of thanksgiving. Now, as I said earlier, the only way to access this key of thanksgiving is through Jesus and Jesus alone. Why? Because Paul says it is through him who gives me strength. It is through Jesus alone that we can find the strength to give thanks. So today I want to give you an opportunity to, if you maybe never invited Jesus into your life as a friend, maybe you've never seen him as a friend, you've seen him as this person who judges you and he just wants to throw your sin into your face, can I just say right now that he's not that. He's a friend and he loves you and he cares for you and he wants to come into your heart and live within you and live the best life that he has through you. And any way to do that is to invite him in. So today I want to give you the opportunity to do that. If you've never done it before, maybe you've done it a long while ago and you've drifted away and you've started to live a life of ungratefulness, a life of just not enjoying it anymore because you've drifted away from Jesus. Today I want to give you the opportunity to invite him back into your heart. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to ask everyone to just close their eyes and bow their heads. It's not because there's anything spiritual, although it is. It's more about not so that people don't see you or they don't so that you don't feel embarrassed to raise up your hand. But a moment I'm going to ask you to raise up your hand. It's not to embarrass you. Like I said, no one else is looking around. It's just simply so I can see who you are because it would be my privilege and my honor to pray with you. This is the best decision that you can make in your life, to say, Jesus, please come into my heart. Jesus, I want to relate to you as a friend. Jesus, I want to relate to you as a father. I want to be close to you. I want to step into this full life that you have for me. I want to start learning how to be grateful in all circumstances. And I know the only way to do that is through you who gives me strength. So if that's you today, if you want to invite Jesus into your life, I'm going to count to one and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And I'm going to see that hand. I'm going to say, I see that hand and you can put it down. Why? Because I just want to see who I'm praying for. So that's you right now. Just lift up your hand. 3, 2, 1. Nice. Thank you on the left over here. Thank you. Thank you in the middle. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you on the right. Thank you on the far right over there. Thank you in the middle back over there. Anyone else? Thank you far left at the back over there. Awesome stuff. Awesome. Thank you in the middle over here. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down once you've lifted it. So many people coming to Jesus. So many people inviting Jesus into the heart. What an awesome, awesome thing. This is the best decision you can make. And right now, all of heaven is throwing a party for you because you have stepped into the kingdom of God. You have stepped into the full life that Jesus has for you. Right now, I want to pray for you. And I'm just going to try and give you some language to pray, but you can pray your own prayer right now. No pressure, but I'm just going to pray a prayer for you and for all of us, but you can just use this as a reference to just give thanks to Jesus right now. Father God, I thank you for every single person who's put up their hand, God. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come into friendship with you and into new life with you. Thank you, Father, that we are forgiven. Thank you, Father, right now we can ask forgiveness for all of our sins. And we ask that you'll please forgive everything that we've done wrong, God. But thank you, Jesus, that even though you know us fully, you know all our struggles, you know all our addictions, God, even though you know us fully, you love us fully. And we thank you right now, God, that we can step into a friendship with you. And we pray, Jesus, won't you please move in our hearts? We pray that from this day forward, we come to you and we give our lives to you. We pray that we'll grow into this friendship with you. We'll become like you. And we'll start to do what you did as we be with you, Jesus. And I pray right now for every single person lifted their hands, God. Help them, Father. Help us, Father, to grow with you daily and to step into this new life of thanksgiving, this new way of living. May we access this new world with you every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said?
You have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.